Just to clarify, this show is now called White to See Radio. It used to be called R3 with JH, and then it was Half Past Presents R3 with JH. I didn't like those names, so I went back to White to See Radio, which was the name of my original podcast back from 09 with my wife, which then became Half Past Adventures. So that show is no longer White to See Radio, but the show is now White to See Radio. You're going to hear me call it R3 with JH, you're going to hear me call it Half Past Presents R3, but really the show is White to See Radio, and you're going to hear this intro for a long time because I record like 35 episodes. Enjoy.
John, you're a dork.
You know, it's kind of funny. The whole thing that started all of this, the podcasting, the everything, was webcomics. You know, well, I mean, really, before that was art. But, like, the online presence of me trying to be an online person of interest, I guess, would be, I don't know, online personality, an influencer. I don't give a shit about influencing. But, you know, it was webcomics. You know, back in 2002, I got into webcomicking, doing stuff, and I just... You know, that turned into podcasting, turned into video, you know, vlogging or vidcasting or whatever you want to call it. And it's called vlogging. I don't know. I fucked up that one. Whatever. But, you know, it's all started from webcomics. And you know, I have thoughts on webcomics. But I've been out of the webcomic game for a while because I'm doing other stuff now. I'm doing print comics and the podcasting and stuff like that. But, you know, I still stick to webcomics now. I think the ballpark's changed in that one a little bit from when I was doing it. But, you know, I have thoughts on that, and I decided to record an episode of R3 from Haphazard now with all my thoughts on webcomics. So, you know, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I'd love to know your thoughts on that, too, because if I remember right, I kind of went touchy on this one, but I don't remember. It's the joy of recording these intros without re-listening to the episodes. I don't quite remember what I said on them, but that's fine, because, you know, all of them are unscripted and just fucking me talking. So, here we go. Webcomics R3 from Haphazard with John. Hello and welcome back to my show. If you're here, you probably know who I am. At least I hope you do. My name's John, and I am the host of various shows. This one, obviously, which is a show where I take a topic or a thought and I just kind of rant about it for 20 to 30 minutes. And I host other shows, Spoiler Country, talking about pop culture and comics, and Haphazard Adventures with my wife. We go on adventures with our family and kids and talk about random stuff. We talk about topics and concerts and pretty random stuff. This show... is me by myself, maybe with a guest every now and then, talking about a solo topic for 20, 30 minutes and seeing where it goes. And it's usually all off the cuff. I mean, I don't really make notes. I just kind of pick a topic and kind of ramble about it a little bit and kind of see what comes from this brain of mine. Now, today I want to talk about webcomics, right? Let's talk about webcomics. Because I come from a day and age when webcomics were looked down upon. And today, that seems to have totally shifted. So, before I get into the topic, and actually we're already on the topic, we're on it now. Let me tell you a little bit about my history with webcomics and creating webcomics. So back in 2002, I was on the Pencil Jack forums or some other artist comic forum out there. Webcomics were around, but they were relatively new. They've been around since the late 90s, but I mean, not a lot of people did them in 2002. And I applied for a job doing art for a webcomic for this guy, Ryan Sommer. And I sent him some samples, and he said, yeah, let's go forward with it. And he sent me a couple of scripts, and I drew up the first one a couple of times. I drew up the first time, and he was like, well, can you change this, and this? So I redrew it. Like, I think I redrew it three times, and I sent him the final one. He was like, yeah, this works. And the webcomic was supposed to launch, I believe, in early 2003, and this was in, like, November of 2002. It's like 16 years ago or more. So I was supposed to launch in 03, and this was in 02. And before it actually went to launch, I emailed Ryan back and was like, hey, man, I don't think I have what it takes to do a daily or a weekly comic at this time. My skills aren't up to it, so I'm going to respectfully back out. So I backed out of the comic and went on to do other stuff later on. That comic ended up becoming, it was the ever so popular Least I Could Do comic. which Lars DeSula does it now. Amazing artist, and they're much better off than having me do the art on that one. But that was my first foray into webcomics. I was reading some at the time. I was reading Sexy Losers and a couple other ones, but I wasn't making any. So at this time, I was thinking to myself, you know, I was in 2002, I was 20 years old. So 19, 20 years old. And I was like, well, you know, I've always loved comic books. I've always wanted to break into comics. So after that, I decided, you know what, I'm going to start working on my skills on sequentials, and I'm going to try and write and draw a creator-owned comic book based on me and my friends that were superheroes. So I came up with the idea of Y2Christ, based upon my friend Dylan's AOL username was Y2Christ, because this is back in the Y2K days and stupidness. But so I created Y2Christ. I wrote out a first issue of 24 pages, and then I penciled out like 12 pages, and I inked and finished out like 9 pages of it. But about the time I got to the 9th page inking and stuff, I was like, man, this is garbage. Nobody's going to like this. I don't even like this. This is dumb. So I scrapped it. But I didn't want to lose my characters that I created. Obviously, but the characters were just all of my friends with their actual first names put into a comic book. So I created what I called at the time Y2Christ Lite. It was because I decided that I was going to go back at some point and redo the script and redo the pages for Y2Christ and release it as an actual comic book, still a superhero comic, but I was going to make Y2Christ Lite, which was the same characters but in a lighter version without superheroes. That's why the Lite was added. So in November of 2003, so roughly about a year after I had auditioned and got the gig with LICD and then dropped out, I launched my own webcomic called Y2Christ Lite, which was a crudely drawn comic book with stupid jokes that was basically meant to make my friends laugh and to make fun of me and my friends. So that was my first foray in webcomics, and I did that one for a while, actually for a long time. And so I got into it, and webcomics were pretty relatively new, and as I said, and so I did that one. As it went on, I'd get more and more detailed in my artwork, which meant they took longer and longer. So My idea was a thrice weekly webcomic. I like the idea of calling it thrice weekly, which means I would post Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I rarely ever hit that goal. I mean, I did probably for the first year off and on, but then I ended up getting a job at a bowling alley and working graveyard. So I'd be drawing at night and then sleeping during the day. So and working and doing band stuff. So that was odd. Awful. There's the word. God, brain. Come on, work. So I did that. And then later on, around 2007, 2008, I took like a year and a half break from the webcomic because I ran out of ideas and started working too much. And then I got married, went back to the webcomic because I needed something. I needed some creative. I hadn't had any creative outlet for a couple of years, and I was just pent up and I felt like I was getting angry because I had no way to release this creative ideas that I had. So I started the webcomics again, got back into Y2CL, or, you know, Y2Christ Lite, which ended up becoming Y2CL. About around this time, I dropped the name and just dropped it down to Y2CL because I got tired of, I should think it was like 08 or 09. I got tired of explaining that it wasn't a Christian comic. But I ended up I would work on Y2CL or Y2Christ Lite. But I also started working on more, so I created a new series called Inanimate. And I still remember I created Inanimate while sitting in an IRC chat room with Joe Garcia, who is one of the guys behind For the Reals. And I sat there and had the idea of if a tree falls in the wood, does it make a sound? That was the first idea I ever had for Inanimate. And I made a 3-panel strip with a tree falling over, and it's just the same panel 3 times. And the last panel just says, ouch. And that was the first one. And then I made 2 characters, the pot and the kettle. And it's based around the pot calling the kettle black, but the pot is a pot leaf. So sitting in that chat room with John, or with Joe, it's funny I say John because his brother's name is John, who also worked on the comic with him. But with Joe, after I'd done an interview with him, I created like something like 30 strips for an anime just in like a 3-hour period, which is insane. So I ended up launching another comic strip called An Anime. And that got me thinking, I want to do more. And I have this nasty habit where I do one thing, but I can't stay focused on one thing, so I do more things, which may be good, maybe bad, probably bad. But after an anime, then I created a series called Sergeant Blinky and His Brigade of Fantastic. Now, again, if you try and look up these comic books, none of them are online anymore. I've taken them all offline. But I do have physical copies of the books you can buy at whitesteel.net. And I took them offline for various reasons, not just because I'm trying to make money off of them now, but the hosting and the saving of all of, you know, 4,000 pages of artwork online and managing the websites and stuff became such a pain in the ass. I got tired of it, so I took them all down about 2 years ago. But you can pick them up in the book format, at least the ones that I've moved to book format. Now, the books are not just the strips. There's more stuff to them, but they're on my website or on, like, Comic Central or Comixology. But I created Sergeant Blinky and His Brigade of Fantastic, which was a single-panel comic strip done around Army men where I would make, you know, basically set up dioramas with them and take pictures and then make comics around those pictures. Then I created a family-friendly one called The Skit and Scat Show, based around dogs, cats. Now, all the animals were named after animals I had growing up. And I wrote that one, and this great artist, J.P. Manzanares, did the art for it, and I colored it. We did like 16 strips total, and then we both got to, I stopped writing them, and he got busy with the other stuff he was doing. So, although we have talked about finishing out at least one book full of strips just to release it at some point, but we haven't yet. And then I did another one called Fuzzy Memory with this guy, Josh Dever, who he wrote it and I drew it. It was basically about a guy being transported to a world where puppets talk. Basically, it's like the Funtime Murders, but a little different. And that was way before Funtime Murders came around. So basically Sesame Street on acid. Then I did another strip. Oh God, I did so many comics. I had one called AVGS, which was essentially, I rebranded a bunch of original comics from White Tree Christ Light that didn't fit into the storyline, that were just kind of random. And as well as anytime I wanted to make a comic strip that did not fit into one of my comics, one of my series, I'd put it under AVGS as like the random one. And AVGS meant a very good segue. I was also told one time in a chat room that AVGS meant a very good slut. Now, originally AVGS was the name of a video game website that my friend Nick and I made to try and sell stuff and make money, and it stood for Advanced Video Game Services, which I think is the most boring, dumb name for anything ever, and I really haven't told a lot of people what AVGS originally meant, but then I rebranded it to a very good segue, because that makes me laugh. So I had that one, and then I had, God, I'm forgetting some. Oh, there was Furry Animal Magic, which we've rebranded now as Furry Animal Mayhem, which was basically furry animals drawn in like the 1940s cartoon style in very provocative situations. Later on, I did PD Comics, which was public domain comics, where I took public domain images and made comics out of them. Those are pretty funny. And then I did one called Stolen Ideas, where basically I would take other people's pages, with their permission, of course, remove all of the text on the pages and then rewrite the jokes to make them funny. I originally did this with Ryan Fisher's Torchlight Lullaby about them trying to get a mimosas, and it came out hilarious, and I loved it, so I did more of them. Let's see, what else did I do? The Y2Christ, Y2CL one ended up going into a zombie story arc that lasted for like 300 or 400 strips, and then that was fun. That was with John Anderson. Then that moved into the future, which was Y3CL, which we launched twice. Both times only got about 10 to 16 pages in and then just stopped. I would love to someday to be able to go back and to finish out the Y3CL storyline. I actually have like two or three storylines that take place after Y3CL that I would love to someday finish out with that crew and finish out those storylines. But timing wise, it's a lot of work, and I just don't have it in me to start back on those characters when I'm doing so much other stuff now. So webcomics, right? This whole thing's not supposed to be about me. It's about webcomics. But I do want to say that webcomics are a thing that is beautiful because you can just post them up there and get pretty much instant feedback from people. I love that. And the last thing I'll say, and this is not going to be the last thing I say about... sorry for the rain. There's rain. It's raining on my car. But in 2016, I decided that I wanted to try and do something that nobody else had done before, and I wanted to post 1,000 pages of webcomics in a year. And I did it. But how I had to do it is I started doing a daily hand-drawn webcomic on Instagram, which was a lot of work, but a lot of fun too. That one's, you can probably still see that one up on Instagram. It's still there. I might actually put those into a book someday. Who knows? But yeah, so 2016, I did 1,000 pages in a webcomic in 1 year. That was a lot of fun. I would never do that again. So much work. But webcomics. Let's talk about webcomics. So when I first started, as I mentioned before, there was not a lot of them. And they were definitely seen as to be lesser than comic books. People who made webcomics were inexperienced. They were not professionals. They were hobbyists, essentially. And you couldn't get a good story, or you couldn't get quality from a webcomic back then. And you couldn't make money. Only very few people could make money on webcomics. And it kind of put a sour taste in some creators' mouth, because it was really hard to actually do a webcomic, even if it was quality, even if it was good, and make money at it. And that's the way a lot of people felt. Even though there was a lot of quality out there, a lot of great stuff being made, a lot of people felt, man, I can, unless I really dive into it, I can't do this. Because, when you make a print comic, the writer writes a story, the artists, the pencils, inkers, and colorists, create the artwork, the letterer adds the letterers, the editor edits it, and they release it and sell it. And it's a lot of work. But when you do a webcomic, especially a lot of webcomic people are solo, it's just one person doing it. Even if there's two people doing it, if you have a writer and artist, there's still a matter of, you have to manage all the self-promotion, all the marketing has to be done by you. You have to build the website. You have to manage all the social media for the comic and for yourself. You have to build the website, which I've already said, but it's a big one because it's a huge pain in the butt. You have to manage a schedule. There's a lot more that goes into it, because you are essentially managing your own distribution chain. There's a lot of work that goes into it that a lot of people, especially myself, I just wanted to make comics, make jokes, make stories, and have fun. But I had to put so much time and effort into maintaining multiple websites. Now, the multiple website portion, that's my own fault for making multiple comics. But still, I had to maintain multiple websites. I had to maintain even just one website and make it with updates and fix errors that came up and do the updates and try and find new intriguing ways to entice people to come to my website to read the comic. And then, do I want to cross-post the comic onto other platforms? Do I want to put it up on Reddit or Imgur? Do I want to put it up on, Comic Genius or whatever insert comic hosting site here and try and gain new fans that way? How do I want to manage, how can I monetize my webcomic? Do I do ads? Do I do ads on the website? How can I do all this stuff? And it's kind of the same with podcasting. With podcasting, you have to do all that stuff yourself too. But I think it's a little different because, I don't know, I just feel like it's different, even though it's kind of the same. But, as a webcomic, you have to do all that. And it's hard. And a lot of people dropped out. And that was one of the big reasons why I, stopped doing it. The biggest reason why I stopped doing webcomics is because I wanted to focus on doing long-form stories and putting them in print, which I felt if I was focusing on the day-to-day or the week-to-week webcomic, page-by-page, I would never get there. I would never get to where I wanted to be. So that's why I left webcomics back in 2016, 2017. But, if I ever went back to it, I would probably do a more structured webcomic thing. But anyways, nowadays, I see a lot of professionals like Colleen Doran and then we're doing webcomics on Webtoon. And it's like, really? These people who are pros in the industry are doing webcomics. They're like Warren Ellis, Colleen Doran and them are doing webcomics. And there's a lot of people who are putting out some great content. Like, I see some people doing webcomics today. I'm like, man, if these people were making comics this quality back when I was doing webcomics, back when I started, I would have given up, because this is way beyond the quality of what I could have done. Intimidated by this. I'm intimidated by it now, because the quality of work in both on the writing and the art on some of today's webcomics is just insane. And I think that we've entered a time where we have people doing webcomics now that when they were younger and as kids saw webcomics online and read them and loved them. I mean, I can't say any of these people today were my readers, because my readers were people who liked taking fart jokes and horrible, horrible things. But they've learned to hone their skills and become amazing artists and amazing writers. And they're taking the format they love, which is webcomics, and then extrapolating that into print comics, because a lot of webcomics will then do print volumes and make money at it. And something that when I was doing them, I never thought feasible. I mean, I put out a book in 2008 through Amazon, and that was a huge feat to get a book out back then. And nowadays, the barrier to entry to release a book for a webcomic, or even for just a print comic, is so low comparatively to what it was 10 years ago. And that's amazing. I just love it. Even my Ainth Anthology book, we've gone back and forth on if do we want to release these stories as webcomics first and then use that to try and build an audience to then sell the books, or do we want to have it be a standalone book? And even now, and I'm recording this prior to the release of Einz Anthology, I keep going back and forth of, do I want to do this as a webcomic? We actually have a series that John Anderson is writing and drawing that will be released as a webcomic on the einzanthology.com website. You know, and that'll be my first foray back into doing a webcomic. And it's, I'm not even doing it. John Anderson's doing it. I'm just going to be the one, I'm just going to be releasing it under my brand, under the Einz Anthology YTCL.net brand. And even then, it's like, man, it's a lot to put in there, a lot of work to make it work. So do I want to do it? And yeah, I want to do it because I the whole idea of him doing this was to make it a webcomic. So we'd have something online for people to read to hopefully entice them into buying the book. And that's the whole thing is, you know, people can say they do webcomics for the love and for themselves. And I did it for the love. And I still make comics for the love of doing the comic books. But making some money off of it always good too, you know. And that's why I would say if there's a webcomic or even a comic creator you love out there and you really enjoy their content, buy something off them, no matter what it is. Just buy something. You know, a little bit of money here and there goes a long way. And a lot of webcomic people don't ever know how to market themselves. And I know, I sure as hell know I didn't. I still don't know how to market myself. But I think the whole point of this ramble, man, it's rant and ramble and rave shit, is that webcomics are a different ballgame today than they were when I started back in 02. And I'm intimidated by it these days. Some people have called me a seasoned veteran of webcomics because I did it for 14 years before I quote-unquote retired from it and moved on. Not really moved on, but changed passions over to print comics. But now, I don't know. I don't know if I would jump into it fresh now if I hadn't done it before, because I don't think my skills are up to par with some of the people out there doing it, and that's just my opinion. But you know, I think the fact that anybody can make a webcomic is amazing. You have people who can't draw at all, drawing stick figures in MS Paint or whatever, and making webcomics, and some of them are great. So yeah, that's my thoughts on webcomics, because you all wanted to know. If you are interested in reading any of my old webcomics, you can pick them up on whitesteel.net. I do have several of them available. Oh yeah, another one I did was Jolene Only with art by my wife. I forgot about that one, which you can pick up the first 5 books of that one, which are out. But if you want to pick up any of my books, they're on whitesteel.net. If you're interested in reading any of the ones that aren't in print yet, hit me up on Twitter at whitesteel.net, and maybe I'll send you a zip file of those strip files, because I probably won't release all of them into book format, but I mean, a lot of them I will eventually. It just takes time to do it, you know. So this is John with the show you're listening to. Check me out on my other show, Spoiler Country. We talk about pop culture and geek stuff and comic books with Kenrick. My other show, Haphazard Adventures, which I've been doing since 09 with my wife, where we talk about culture and whatever, and go on adventures and concerts and shit like that. Check out my YouTube show, Drinks and Comics with Spoiler Country, where we drink and talk about comics. Man, I feel like the whole outro thing is just an advertisement for the other shit that I do, which I guess, whatever. I don't know. Just, you know what? If you just go to whitesteel.net or if you go to scpod.net, you'll see all the cool things that I do, and you can partake in whichever aspect of it you like. I don't really care. If you like it all, like it all. If you don't like it all, that's fine too. But most importantly, remember, have fun and be nice to each other out there. See ya.
I'm ready.